now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Default rates on student loans are up. The national rate is 8.8%, the highest in 14 years. What's happening out there? And are college graduates failing to find jobs to begin paying off their loans? To discuss that, I'm joined by Mark Kantrowitz. He's the publisher of FastWeb.com and FinAid.org, the web's top sites on information and advice on paying for college. Mark is also a nationally recognized financial aid expert. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
Now, jobs are quite scarce. We all know that. And while education is a great thing, is this a time to seriously consider not going into debt for a college degree?
Well, during economic downturns, people tend to go back to college. If you can't find a job, you might as well get training in a new field where you can get a job. I think you need to be more sensitive to the relationship between your debt and your likely income. You need to make sure that your total debt at graduation is less than your expected starting salary.
Well, what's happening, though? Are people basically getting their degree and finding that there is simply not a job for them, period?
That's the primary driver of high cohort default rates is unemployment rates. And the three primary drivers are graduation rates. If you don't graduate, you can't get a job. You're going to have trouble paying back the loans. Unemployment rates. If you can't get a job, you can't pay back your student loans. And interest rates. Every 1% increase in the interest rate can increase your monthly loan payments by 5% on a 10-year term.
So we're seeing these for-profit universities popping up like mushrooms, and we're now seeing that their students have a 15% default rate. That's over twice the level of public schools. Why is that rate so much higher?
Well, one of the reasons is that low-income students tend to enroll at the for-profit colleges, partly because they don't get in anywhere else, and partly because these colleges recruit low-income students who receive the federal Pell Grant. The unemployment rates for people who grow up in impoverished communities are necessarily going to be higher. So if a student goes to college locally, graduates, and tries to get a job locally, they're much more likely to default on their loan than someone who goes out of state or to a different community in order to get an education and ultimately get a job.
These for-profit universities have been criticized for their marketing campaigns and for their somewhat aggressive approach to student recruitment, sometimes even falsifying some of their information in terms of the outcome students can expect. And with the default rate so much higher than public schools, is that a sign that we might actually have a problem of this sort in these for-profit universities?
Well, 60% of the difference between default rates at for-profit colleges and non-profit colleges is due to demographic factors, such as being the first in the family to go to college, being low income, being a single parent. The remaining 40% is not due to demographic factors and is presumably due to differences in educational quality. So while the 15% default rate is a very high default rate, at least part of it is due to the students, the demographics of the students who enroll. The rest of it is presumably due to educational quality.
I'm talking to Mark Kantrowitz. He's the public of FastWeb.com and FinAid.org. He's a financial aid expert. So, Mark, from what I know, student loans are eternal debts. What happens when a student defaults on that loan?
Well, if you default on a federal education loan, first of all, you're next to impossible to discharge it in bankruptcy. You'd have to file an undue hardship petition in an adversarial proceeding, which is a very harsh standard. In 2008, the most recent year for which data exists, 29 out of 72,000 borrowers who had federal education loans succeeded in discharging them in bankruptcy. That's less than 0.04%. You're more likely to die of cancer or die in a car crash than you are to get your loans discharged. The government also has very strong powers to compel repayment of their loans. They can garnish up to 15% of your wages without a court order. They can offset federal and state income tax refunds. They can intercept lottery winnings. They can take up to 15% of your Social Security benefit payments. So even if you're retired, you're still going to be forced to pay back these loans. It's government nets on a net present value basis 85 cents on the dollar for defaulted loans, and that's after subtracting the collection costs. So the government gets its money one way or another.
So let's say you want to go to college, you want to move ahead in your life, and you don't want to end up in this situation. You know the job market is such that it's really not clear if you'll get a job immediately. It might take a while, might take a year or two even. How can you approach going to school and avoid a default situation?
Well, one of the best ways to save on college costs is to go to an in-state public college. Your debt at graduation will be much lower, and you'll be in a better position to repay your debt. You should also consider whether the field of study that you're going into is lucrative enough to pay back the debt. That should be a signal to you to manage your debt, to try to reduce it. I mean, you buy used textbooks, sell the textbooks back to the bookstore at the end of the semester. That can save you hundreds, if not $1,000 a year. Try to double major so that you have a marketable skill, or at least minor in a field where you'll be able to get a job after you graduate. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pursue your dreams, but you need to figure out how you're going to pay back the debt before you incur it, not after you graduate, because you have less opportunity to reduce your debt after you graduate than before.
What's the range of the debt amount students might owe if they're borrowing to finance a bachelor's degree?
The average debt at graduation was about $27,200, students who graduated this year. That doesn't include parent plus loans. If you throw them into the mix, the average debt at graduation was $34,400. The debt at public colleges is much lower. The debt at nonprofit colleges and for-profit colleges is much higher. A good rule of thumb is that your debt at graduation should be less than your expected starting salary, and ideally a lot less. Typical students will graduate with about half of their salary as debt. If you have less than your expected starting salary as your total education debt, you'll be able to pay back your debt in 10 years. If your debt at graduation is more than your expected starting salary, but less than double your expected starting salary, mm-hmm. you're going to need to use an alternate repayment plan to afford your monthly loan payments. Mm-hmm. If it's more than twice, you're at very high risk of defaulting on your loans.
Okay, finally, for those who say the cost of college is too overwhelming to pursue a degree and to deal with this huge debt, better just skip it. What would you say to them?
Well, the average income of someone with a bachelor's degree is 80% higher than someone with just a high school diploma. So on average, it still pays for itself. The issue is when students go to the most expensive colleges and pursue the least lucrative degrees, that's where you see the students who are graduating with problems. Education debt is good debt to the extent that it's an investment in your future, but too much of a good thing can be problematic. Too much of a good thing can hurt you.
Mark Kantrowitz, he's the publisher of FastWeb.com and FinAid.org, the web's top sites on information and advice on paying for college. Thank you for joining me, Mark.
Thank you for having me.